Yeah.
I just,
I mean, I actually don't have that either, and it turns out that I'm like just spending most of the time that I am asleep nearly dead.
Oh.
So.
Well.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, nearly is a comforting word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nearly dead. You know,
you still have
we're
still
all,
that wiggle
room. Nearly dead.
Right?
Yeah.
We're
it.
All nearly dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You. We can't see them, but everybody's got a status bar.
Yes.
Above their head.
This is Street Fighter.
Yeah. And we don't know. We don't know how far we are on that. Oh, it could just take one more jab or a leg sweep.
And then I'm more like afraid of heart disease, I think.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned three specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
In this blood-pumping episode of The Stab Show, Warren Takes as Corey Behringer jumps a dirt bike over a ravine full of other failed dirt bike jumpers. Hilarious writer and performer Frankie Lord unlocks the secret of an ancient riddle hidden in the meows of 1,000 vampire cats. And Stab Show favorite Tyler Kinney teaches a young water polo player that sometimes it's not about the size of the lock on the door, but how dirty the welcome mat is. All of this while I, your host Jesse Jones, tries to juggle a wacky night where I'm simultaneously on two different dates with a 14th century philosopher and a sleeping bag full of centipedes at the same fundraiser for peripheral vision awareness. All of this and so much more tonight on Stab. Now, let's dive right into the program with segment one. It's reorganization. If you've been paying any attention at all to my performance hosting this damn thing for the last little while, you'd be forgiven to ask if I was ESL, or English as a second language. I stumble over easy shit, don't take the proper care in setting things up, just blow through carefully crafted setups. It's atrocious. I'm embarrassed to even associate with me. But now, having pointed it out, I'm going to do better to do better. Because I am better. Thumbs up. High five. And now that we've got a tangential idea of what ESL might actually stand for or represent in reorganization, it's your job to quickly forget about ESL's actual meaning and instead give me who or what else ESL might stand for or represent to you, Corey Behringer. Let's hear your ESL.
Well, like most people that watch Jersey Shore, it inspired me. Those modern-day shaman live by an ethos they were able to distill into three simple words: gym, tan, laundry. And then distill it even further into abbreviated letters, GTL. I needed something like this to guide my own path, but those particular words didn't resonate with me. I don't go to the gym, I certainly don't tan, and while I think laundry is something everyone should try once just to see how it feels, it ultimately wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I took a hard look at my daily routine and narrowed it down to the three most important components, and those are eat, scream, languish. The first step should be obvious. A guy's got to eat, right?
Sure.
It's not so important what I eat. Could be a handful of grapes or an entire jar of olives. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, I will scream when it's gone. Not just a quick holler, but a long, sustained session of screaming. This will tucker me out big time. Which leaves me no other choice but to languish. My signature brand of languishing features me just kind of sprawled out and moaning in agony before drifting painfully to sleep. Eventually, I will wake up hungry, and the cycle begins anew.
Oh, thank you, Corey. Drifting painfully to sleep.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that before.
Now you have.
And not having seen any Jersey Shore, I mistook.
Brag.
I know. I'm sorry. You're welcome. I mistakenly heard it for gin.
Oh,
tan,
you thought gin tan, and then,
yeah.
You know, I guess.
Which,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was more on
sure.
board.
Yeah.
When it was gin. Yeah. Obviously, the eat, scream, languish needs to be on like faux. Barn lumber framed in a home goods somewhere.
Yes.
Thank you, Corey. Frankie, what do you got in way of an ESL?
Here at Starbucks, we aren't doing very fucking well. We played stupid games being anti-union and won stupid prizes with incredibly successful misinformation campaigns that nobody wants to correct because they don't think we, quote, deserve to be, quote, caped for. We kind of thought this would all blow over by now after some basic research, but we've released lavender lattes and boba pearls since October, and our sales are still bad. So, we've released a drink for ourselves, the ESL, the existential spice latte. Steamed milk poured in coffee and topped with uncomfortable political philosophy about the modern era. The ESL will have you asking questions like, what is politics in the post-truth era? How do we save our business when we're being boycotted over half-truths at best? And most importantly, how do we reckon with any of this without having to unionize, pay anybody their worth, and make just a little less in profits? Here at Starbucks, we'd literally rather be dead than unionize. Try the existential spice latte today. The ESL is actually not topped in existential dread. That's not a thing. It's actually topped in olive oil. Lots and lots of olive oil. You will have an existential crisis, but it will be while you are actively shitting yourself.
Oh. I don't know much about lattes. But it doesn't sound like you should have olive oil in it.
And that's a thing that they're doing. It's so gross. I haven't tried it, but it makes me mad. Yeah. Makes me mad just to know it happens.
That sounds terrible.
And it like collects at the top because it separates. It's an oil.
Right, so I would imagine.
It's just horrible. Horrible.
So you gotta like penetrate the pool of olive oil on top of it with your face to get to a beverage. Oh, Starbucks. Oh, but I never go to Costco. We go to Costco sometimes, but I usually don't if she's gonna go. Went through. They've got those Gruyere and like bacon egg bites at the Costco.
Oh, like the sous vide.
Yeah. Oh, those are delicious. So I don't need to go to Starbucks. Yep. Good thing that's becoming less and less of an option. Thank you, Frankie. Hey, Tyler. You so-and-so. What do you have in way of an ESL, then?
It's a stands for every second is longer, and it's a scientific term to address the phenomenon of time dilation in relation to shitting your pants. Physicists haven't been able to study this because they don't want to, but there's a universally acknowledged acceleration of time in the moments leading up to and a slowing of time after one shits their pants. Perception of time is always relative to the proximity of diarrhea to the event horizon of the sphincter, both fore and aft. This effect is not observed when alone, when, say, in the shower, where the moments often happen with no impact on time. But in the aftermath of a real pants-filling incident at a social function, like, say, a charity bachelor auction, post-release, one will experience ESL. Every second is longer as you run through every escape scenario. Time slows as you consider slashing the host's throat, moving overseas, getting offensive skin darkening procedures to start a new life. And in those moments, ESL, every second is longer.
Oh. I didn't think someone would have known my nickname for my asshole. The event horizon. Well, let's get to know these people who just funnied at you a slight bit more. Thank you for reorganizing, first of all, guys. Yeah. Corey, hi there.
Hi.
Hi. You've got a program or two around here?
Yeah, I do Warm Takes with Emma Haney. It's an improvised stand-up show where we just kind of riff with a bunch of stand-ups and, just throw random topics at them and just kind of see what happens. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That'll be coming up next week.
Yes. The 7th?
7th. It's one of those crazy months where the 1st is on Saturday and it just, it gives you a first Friday and a second Saturday in the same week. It's weird. At some point, Digipoken with milk again.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's just one of those. It's a hang show. Yeah. You know, we just hang and we talk about Pokemon and Digimon, and it'll happen again eventually.
Of course.
So,
anything else interesting, fun going on in the performing world or otherwise?
I mean, not so much. I've been working on music at home and stuff, and with my buds, mostly just listening to a deep well of prog right now. So that's been my world lately. It's prog and just the most annoying jazz fusion possible.
Wow.
That's sorry to my wife.
I was gonna say
no, that's the beauty of headphones. I don't often actually have it playing, but sometimes,
sure,
you know, on a long drive I'll get mine in a little. I'll get a little bit you know, crimson in, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but you got to fill the room. You just got to put it on the stereo, and you just got to let it noodle for 20 solid minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Corey. Good to have you, as always.
Good to be here.
Hey, Frankie.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
You keep trying to leave us, so I keep trying to sneak you back in before you eventually become another goddamn Zoomin' guest. Because I don't let people leave.
Yeah.
You can move, but you're still going to be on the show, Tyler.
Right.
So how are
you? Sorry, I'm still writing.
No, no, that's all right. Please, go back to writing. I was just using you as an example.
I'm here, I swear.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah?
I actually recorded an episode yesterday of, like, a new podcast I'm going to try to get off the ground. So,
all right.
I'll have more information when it's, like, actually online, but it is going to be about, like, horror novels.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Milk did it with me yesterday. It was a lot of fun.
So. Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you'd contacted up with Nicole Eichenberg. She's...
Not yet, but when I'm intending on rotating. Guess
yeah, yeah, because she writes like horror content.
Oh, nice.
For I can't remember the site. Bad host. but yeah, she writes stories for a horror site.
Nice.
So awesome. Well. Cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, your show is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Was never a horror. Never into it.
Mm-hmm. Like as far as like novel, or did you like try short form at all? Like
I did, as we all did growing up, read some Stephen King. Too young.
You had to.
And that wasn't bad, but I'm a sensitive lad. I can't watch like horror movies. I just feel bad for the people.
Sure.
So I'm too empathetic, guys.
Yeah. It's just
No. But to each their own. Enjoy your slashery nonsense.
Well, some of it is that I read horror so that other people don't have to.
Oh.
So it might actually work for you because you have that barrier.
You know what? I'm sold. Get those three episodes done so that iTunes will take it, and then I'll subscribe. Well, good to have you.
Good to be here.
And again, depending on how quickly you can get to the Pacific Northwest, might sneak you in again. Frankie, wonderful. Thanks for being here. Tyler.
Hi.
I was just using you as an example for Frankie that people may move, but they never leave the show.
I very much appreciate it.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, because I would just be doing the same thing, but no one would be listening.
Well, I've just been enjoying the... I'm trying to make it at least monthly updates on your getting closer and closer to being in bar bands with just a bunch of divorcees. So I hear there's another update.
Okay, so if you haven't been following, I turned 40, and I thought, how am I gonna not kill myself? And then I thought, well, I could be like an old steel guitar player, so I bought a pedal steel guitar, and I'm learning
Hell
to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I've been in a bunch of weird dad bands, and the most recent one, not a dad band. I'm actually very excited. Johnny Blueheart. sounds anyway, it's like Western cinematic, you know, like I don't know. I'm excited. I'm playing bass in this one. Oh, electric bass.
Nice.
So I had to fix the pickups on the bass I had when I was 15.
Oh. Well, cool.
It's all part of my retirement plan of not having a retirement plan. Like, if I can be 65 and in a bar making enough money to get through the weekend, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, just hosting open mics and karaoke. You're going to be holding down that bar's entertainment like four nights a week.
I'm thinking more like being the crusty guy in a band that tours. I'm like, I got 20 years to be a good musician. I can do that, right?
Yeah, I think that'll work. Well, at least these guys aren't criminals with fresh wounds in a church basement trying to sneak in alcohol.
No, this is yeah, much less dangerous.
Yeah, I've been keeping up, guys. Well, good to have you, Tyler. Let's get back to the program.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Is this what the show is? I'm kidding.
We're working on it. We're working on figuring it out. And I don't want to interrupt you from continuing to write. So let's get into segment two. It's Bootleg It. If you're looking for a shortcut into the entertainment industry, don't! There isn't one. Work hard. Write great. Maintain your integrity. That's the only path to success in the entertainment industry. I kid. You hardly need any of those. Just take something that's already worked, change it just a little bit, and sell it to a mid-range studio pumping out content to just get your foot in the door. That's the concept of Bootleg It. So in Bootleg It, you're asked to take these three world-renowned successful properties and give us your dollar store, flea market, bargain bin, knockoff, counterfeit, or bootleg version of each of them. So we'll go 1-1-1-2-2-3-3 three times around. This is probably the first bootleg that I have barely even tangential knowledge of any of these. Usually I go with a little bit more evergreen stuff, but this is more current. I don't have time to watch TV. So hopefully you guys did enough wikiing to have a jumping off point. So let's go get our first time around started with Corey. Let's hear your bootleg Bridgerton.
Bridgerton Jones Diary.
Yes.
A Tubi original starring Renee Zellweger, because she just really wanted to do the accent again. It takes the story of Bridget Jones' Diary, based on Pride and Prejudice, but sets it in early 19th century England, which many have pointed out is the original setting of Pride and Prejudice. That's it.
Yeah. All I have to say about that one.
Yeah. It's a switcheroo. It's a switchbackaroo.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you, Frankie. Bootleg Bridgerton?
Yeah. So this bootleg Bridgerton is called Viaductowitz. It is kind of like Bridgerton, but it's Israeli propaganda that's supposed to make it look like Palestine was like very rich Victorian whites in the 1800s, and also Jewish. It's really weird for all of the aforementioned reasons, but also because they're all speaking Hebrew in really heavy New York accents while still dressed like fucking Bridgerton, right?
Okay.
It makes the sexiness of the sex scenes not quite work in Viaductowitz, because I can't stress enough, very heavy New York accents. I understand it's by nature anachronistic, but maybe, I don't know, they could speak in any other accent. And they also still somehow got Pitbull on the soundtrack.
Nice.
Is Pitbull in the Bridgerton soundtrack?
Yeah, they do like a strings cover.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Thing is, I know less and less about this the more you guys talk about it.
Exactly. I've seen none of these, and I'm learning about them.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm excited for Baby Reindeer because I've actually seen it.
Oh,
this
good.
This is going to hurt.
I've heard it's difficult. I don't know anything, so go ahead, you get to inform me. But first, we got to get through the first two.
Sorry.
Wait for it.
Sorry.
let's get... first time around, finished with Tyler's bootleg Bridgerton.
I just want to say, one time I was behind the Crest Theater, and I thought I saw Pitbull, and it turned out it was a pit bull impersonator at a drag competition. Anyway.
Wow.
So close. Bridgerton, my bootleg. Sorry, do you want to host? Bridgerton. The bootleg version is Stunky Cunt. It's a Cockney period drama about a dramatic period. Literally, the plot is propelled by the shedding of the uterine lining. Does that even make sense? I don't like that I said it. What's even going on? You'll just have to sign up for a Paramount Plus free trial to find out.
Yay. Moving on. Second time around. Well, at least now I don't have to say Bridgerton again. I discovered here with you at the same time. It's not a good word for me. second time around, second bootleg. Corey, let's get our bootlegging of Yellowstone started.
Coming soon to the Logo Channel, an extremely gay Western set in a national park where the chaps are assless because that's just how chaps work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing strange there.
No.
You've just...
Oh, yeah. And it's Fellow Stone.
Oh.
There we go.
I'm glad there Jacqueline was here so we
Thank
didn't miss
God.
That. Oh, no. Little Fellow Stones and regular chaps. Thank you, Corey. Yeah. Wonderful. Frankie?
So what you guys don't know is that Yellowstone is already bootlegged Secession. So I'm going to take this to the logical next step, which is just an ordinary family of toxic assholes fighting for the one piece of wealth that anyone can inherit, which is the family minivan. After 15 harrowing seasons, mom dies and just leaves it to the church. It wasn't even operable at this point, but it was also about the principle of the matter, which is that did mom actually even love any of them? Of course not.
No. Good for mom. Not loving a clan of assholes. It wasn't her fault. Well, it probably was. It didn't help. Could have loved him more. thank you. And Tyler, how about a bootleg Yellowstone?
Landscaping Gravel. The overly serious drama about a family of quarrymen and gravel tycoons. Will the patriarch of the family win back his Senate seat? That all depends on his shady dealings with the dump truck guys who deliver the gravel for the Senate building's drought-resistant landscaping. Landscaping Gravel. It's comically less majestic sounding than Yellowstone, and that's the whole joke.
That's all right. You made four solid sentences out of that one joke. Thank you. Back around to wrap up our bootlegging third time around. Corey, what do you got in a baby reindeer bootleg?
This is Muppet Babies Reindeer. Baby Miss Piggy begins stalking baby Fozzie Bear at his stand-up shows because she thinks he can get her closer to baby Kermit. Some bad stuff probably happens after that. I haven't seen Baby Reindeer. I hope this works out okay.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. Except all of the cackling to your right implies that it will not. Oh, fingers crossed for Muppet Baby Reindeer from Frankie.
I actually thought there was a possibility that could happen, and then just a much more detailed version of my very first thought theater of Muppet Baby Reindeer. Anyway.
There's plenty of thought. Frankie! You tipped us off earlier that you were looking forward to this, so let's hear
no context. Sure. This is a hell of an introduction.
Well, let's hear your bootleg baby ring.
I only have the jingle for a toy line.
okay.
And I'm sorry in advance. Okay.
All right.
My little stalker, what is friendship all about? My little stalker, isn't the world a scary place? My little stalker, she calls and threatens my mom. My little stalker, and then I cried for days.
Yay! Hey. Yay? Okay. So... I'm starting to get what the show might be about. All right. didn't realize. I'm sorry I brought it up. Haven't heard from my stalker in a while. hey, Tyler, let's wrap up this section of this program. What do you have for us for a bootleg baby ranger?
Old ass possum. It's the Christmas decoration that's left when all the baby reindeer are sold out. And like a Rudolph, it has a light bulb, but instead of the nose, it's in the marsupial pouch, and it's glowing. Because inside of that pouch is Possum Jesus. There was no room at the end, and Mary was forced to keep her baby warm in the pouch of North America's only marsupial. What's that you say? Jesus was born in North America? Just ask any nerd riding a Huffy in a crisp white shirt with a name tag on it, and he'll let you know. Mm-hmm. Old ass possum.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I reached for where they had the baby reindeers on the shelf. I didn't even look. Just put an old ass possum in the cart. I took it home. thank you, guys. I will not watch any of those. it's segment three. It's closing arguments. There seem to be some high-profile court cases going on, or just finishing, depending on how things work. And since this was written on Wednesday, I don't know. The point is, the American legal system is on display all the time for them what's wanna seize it. And those who do will see that it's not so much about guilt or innocence as it is about convincing a box of dummies that proof isn't. And in closing arguments, it's your job to convince the jury of your job to convince the jury that your client isn't nearly as bad as they might seem to be. So go on, work the system. Corey Barringer, let's hear your closing argument in defense of someone who thinks pranks are hilarious.
Your Honor, a wise man once said laughter is the best medicine. This has since been scientifically proven true beyond all doubt. And that wise man, he is my client. Mm. And he said those very words to me earlier today when I took the case. That should be enough evidence to prove him innocent, but I will resist every instinct to rest my case, and instead, I will continue. Mm-hmm. My client loves a good time. Is it occasionally at the expense of others, perhaps? But I would just as well ask them, what were you doing with your day that was better than falling down while my client laughed? Were you going to write the great American novel? Doubtful. Instead, you were able to participate in a rich tradition of foolery. A prank requires both a willing and unwilling participant.
Sure.
The alleged victims, and notice I said alleged, need to understand this because that's just how it is, and basically they just need to chill about the broken tailbones already. I think I speak for the jury when I say, we get it, your little hiney's got hurt, but you're not going to win this case just because you have x-rays. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty. Did the stenographer get the part where I said I spoke for the jury? Because I think that means I won.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's right there. In the court report.
I said that
the
they
jury
said.
Yeah. What a wonderful prank. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Corey. I'm sorry if you enjoy pranks. Not a fan.
Me neither, kind of. No.
It's mostly just lying.
It's lying. That's yeah. what it is. Yeah. It's just lying.
Not a fan. Yeah. But thank you for going against everything you believe and defending that bastard. Frankie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Frankie, let's hear your closing arguments in defense of hitting absolutely every light when you're in a hurry.
Your Honor, I cannot in good conscience defend my client hitting every red light when you are in a hurry any sure. longer. You see, I am a newer driver and have much more patience for others than, at the very least, my father, who road rages in the passenger seat, making threats that his 847-year-old body on an oxygen tank can't cash. Well, I manage my time well around drives, and it allows me to stay calm. But today, the oddest coincidence happened.
Whoa.
I woke up at 4 p.m. from a nap and discovered with profound horror that I'd forgotten that I'd signed up for this case the night before. Your Honor, I've tried over 175 cases in this courthouse, and I have never just forgot that I had court. What? So I had only a couple hours to desperately scramble all of my documents together, not only for this case, but for the other four cases I am on tonight. I know, Your Honor, I am worked to the bone, hitting every single red light on the way here when this was an honest mistake, and I had shat out five entire cases like I just downed the new existential spice latte they're selling at Starbucks. It was humbling. It was degrading. It was so, so frustrating. My zen was gone. My technology-aided slumber was a waste. I felt like I had another ESL-induced case I was about to drop, Your Honor. That's why I need you to send hitting every red light when you are in a hurry to the firing squad.
There's a lot going on. A lot of thumbing. I wasn't sure if we were...
I thought my dad had texted me to tell me to go fuck myself.
Oh.
I was watching at home.
Oh, is he? Oh, hi. We've heard a lot about you, sir. thank you, Frankie. Well done. yeah, not a fan. Also not a fan. It's weird that all these things that are presented to you as not being great are things that I personally don't like. That's not always the case. But that's the well I'd pull from. Tyler?
Oh, present.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I did present it that way.
It's okay.
Tyler,
just kidding.
Are we? Yeah, okay. You just have to raise your hand.
use your words.
Tyler Kenny, let's hear your closing arguments in defense of getting silverware in a restaurant with food still stuck on it.
Ladies and gentlemen of the lunch counter of the Pancake Circus, there comes a time in every man's life when he sets aside childish things and he stops eating boogers. Sure, we all partook. We all made hay while the sun was warm. I recall lazy afternoons filled with the boyish exploration of my body's orifices and their offerings. But those days are long behind me. Until today, when I looked at my butter knife in disbelief. What is this I see? Could it be a booger dried on my butter knife? Is this a Pancake Circus or is this my childhood bedroom? My mother faintly singing in the distance over her housework while I drag out skull truffles and face caviar and then dreamily consume them in forbidden bliss. Is that what's happening? No, because I don't eat boogers anymore. So let me ask you, why is it on this day in this fair city that I am being encouraged to nibble a little booger off my butter knife? Does the chef of Pancake Circus not know that would be backsliding nearly 40 decades of abstaining from this bliss? Does the line cook of Pancake Circus want to see me isolate from the people I love just to engage in this light cannibalism? I'm sorry, what? Oh, it's just a bit of lettuce stuck on the knife from the washing machine? And you can just get me a new knife? So you didn't try to serve me a booger in an attempt to make me relapse, driving my wife back into the arms of her gynecologist? Well then, people of the Pancake Circus lunch counter, I rest my case. And if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to lick my butter knife a little bit just to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta check. Gotta know what you're talking about. You all right over there?
Something about me is that I can handle so much fucked up horror shit, and I once DNF'd a book because a kid ate a booger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was too artistic a description. I couldn't handle it. Oh, well, and I gagged for weeks.
Wow.
So, yes.
We all have weird lines, and they're all different for everybody.
I would argue that's not a weird line. it isn't necessarily even my line, but... I recognize that is such a normal line to have.
Okay. All right.
It doesn't gross me out to that extent, is what I'm saying. Like,
oh, sure.
I won't hurl from that,
sure.
But it is gross as shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're all just animals.
Yeah.
Just dropping our leavings. Or not. Or taking our leavings. I'll stop. Let's get into segment four quickly. You know what? At a good pace. At a good pace. Segment four, it's Angry Poems. I like to think I'm pretty creative. Simultaneously, I know I'm pretty angry. So, in this intersection of art and rage, we find the angry poem. Because if you just scream obscenities into the sky, people think you're a lunatic. But if you make your fiery temper rhyme, you're an artist. Which is the premise of Write an Angry Poem About It, in which you've been asked to write some angry poems about the following subjects. I couldn't help it. Corey?
Yeah?
Let's hear your angry poem. I guess I should have added A to all of these. I'm going to add A to all of them now. Because they would work better. Corey, let's hear your angry poem about a stinker.
I could have guessed it was you. It was just the sort of thing a stinker would do. And we all know you're a stinker through and through. So what gives? How come? Did you expect us to thank the very same stinker that gave us the stink? Well, I think not, though I doubt you'll agree, that we're being pretty reasonable with our tone of levity. But the fact is, you're tearing this family apart. Now get back to your job at the mall, Paul Blart.
Oh, you. Oh.
He's a stinker.
He's a little stinker. But he's so earnest.
Yeah.
He really means it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Corey. I guess I don't know that A helps yours, Frankie. I'm not even entirely sure what it was, but I had the other two, so I... Frankie, let's hear your angry poem about Pinker.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote a haiku.
Okay, that's fair.
It's called Jesse Jones, This Is What I Think About Your Goddamn Pinker Prompt.
That's fair. Okay. Double fair.
I'm going to put a gun in my pinker and queef till you are shot dead.
Sure. Oh, the haiku. I heard limerick. That's why I was confused.
No.
They do sound really similar.
I don't know.
Those two words. I'm always mixing them up.
Just blanked out. Sure. I suppose that's... Sure. That's what I deserved. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not going to let me off the hook. Well, then let's quickly get to the end of our angry poeming. I got to remember in the future, this can be a short prompt. If I want to condense the show, I'm just saying. I'm saying out loud. I'm taking notes out loud, and I'm going to stop. All right. Tyler Kinney, you've heard a poem about a stinker. You've heard an angry poem about Pinker. Now let's hear your angry poem about a blinker.
Blinker? I hardly know her. Mm-hmm. Dad joke. Sad bloke. Blinker? I'm a daily drinker. I raw dog these car turns. Alerting you is not my concern. Can't spare the hand while I travel the land. I drink champagne while I'm changing lanes. Blinker? I hardly knew her. Mouth around the signal arm, I blew her. Left, right, off, using my tongue to click. I hit the four-way hazards with the tip of my dick. Blinker? What's my kink here? I wish I knew before I blew the turn signal of my Subaru.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt real beat.
Yeah.
Like beat poetry, oh, kind of.
Very
you
much.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. I can smell the cloves. I don't know. Painting a picture with words. That's what we do. We're artists. Segment 5 is Department of Tourism. Final segment already. I know. As expected, we've leapfrogged over that 3-day weekend that is Sacramento Spring and straight into summer, a prime travel season. The kids are out of school, and it's hot as balls, so why not go somewhere to, at very least, sweat in a whole different town? In Department of Tourism, it's your job as a newly appointed tourism director of the following places to try to convince the go-placers that yours is the place they should go, either to visit for an hour, a weekend, or put down whole-ass new roots. Corey Barringer. Mm-hmm. Let's hear why we should visit the Music Festival Islands.
My name is Kyler Blazington, and I'm the visionary behind the Music Festival Islands. As an aspiring tech mogul, it's my life's ambition to disrupt any and all established norms in our culture. So, of course, the first time I went to a music festival, I thought, Yeah, this needs to be disrupted. It was all too organized, so predictable and safe. That's not what the youth wants. The youth wants an experience, one they can live tweet. And I'm just the guy to give them that, with my dazzling charm, meager inheritance, and millions of crowdsourced dollars. That's how I bought 80 small islands that weren't being used anyway and had them moved to the Bermuda Triangle. Each island will feature a stage, possibly music, and probably bathrooms. Ever hear the term too big to fail? I'm taking that and applying it to islands. With this many islands, I fucking dare this festival to not succeed.
Yeah. There's 80 of them.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. Oh, just going from one island to the other. That's an adventure enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a music or Portos. Thank you, Corey. Mm-hmm. Hey, Corey Behringer.
Yes.
You're not done. How can people get more of you and what you do in their gosh darn lives?
Well, I do the show here, Warm Takes, first Fridays of the month at 9 p.m., improvised stand-up, and you can follow me on Instagram at Hunky Corey. That's where I post most stuff, but I don't even post there a whole bunch, so you know, do what you feel.
Yeah. You know what? Live your own life.
Yeah.
Corey's not here to raise you.
No. I'm barely here to entertain you.
Oh, you cut that out. Always wonderful to have you.
Thanks for having
good.
Me.
So good. Frankie, hi there.
Hello.
Yes. Let's see what you've got in way of reasons why we should visit Allergentonio.
Hello, and welcome to Allergentonio. Sorry, you know, allergies. They always act up on the most important days. Okay. Allergentino, it's a beautiful place. It's filled with Bradford pear trees, dandelions, short hair cats, mold, gluten, nuts, dairy, men, latex, seafood, pollen, vulnerability, bees, EpiPens. In Allergentonio, it's a gamble. Will your meds work or will you suffer? Oh, it sounds bad, but it's a gamble that makes life worth living.
Sure.
Oh, we get more dopamine from inconsistent rewards than consistent ones after all.
Yeah, no, I was not going to interrupt. You were just going to go until you said.
What if we find out that sneezing is my line and I just throw up on stage? I could not handle what was happening next to me. Like,
oh,
I know
no.
It's fake, but I cannot handle this. Oh. So fucking gross. Actually, those were very believable sneezes.
Yeah,
that's what made me
good.
Think of that, of like, if
it's
I
quality.
Had that quirk, that would be hard to listen to. Those were good sneezes.
Thank you.
Oh, now I worry for our legions of listeners. I'm just going to be triggered. Oh, what do I have to do?
I'm the bad boy of this episode.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Fun fact, at the other extreme, I once dated a guy who had a sneeze kink.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
thing.
You know
yeah.
what? always forget.
Maybe I gave our listeners a treat.
That's true.
You never know.
I think it's more likely that you gave the stream a treat
yeah.
than any like discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah, in the same way that that feet can be a really big thing for some people, I imagine sneezing could also be it.
Yeah.
And yeah, to each their own. To each nostril lover their own. Sorry. Frankie, how can people get more Frankie Lord in their lives?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram and TikTok at Oops and Non-Binary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that part of the cycle where I post something that went really well, and now I'm afraid of the internet again. So I'm not super active, but I'm around.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then just keep an eye out on the podcast.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah. Please. Please let us know.
I will.
It feels like there's been a lull in podcastery, in new podcastery people.
I think I know exactly why that is.
Yeah.
It's because it stopped being a medium like of the people and like of like up and coming kind of people in the media and
sort of co-opted
and
by the
then,
established.
Exactly. Now you have like these networks that are through like Conan and stuff, like good things.
Yeah.
But it's not this other thing, and I feel like it's just it's dominated that. So we don't really see these kind of scrappy upstarts that actually can get somewhere.
Yeah.
But,
well, I was wondering as you were saying that if the transition hadn't been like pushed out of podcast and like streaming potentially, if that was like the next step. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't keep up.
Don't know.
Or probably more likely TikTok sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably where they went. Yeah. It's also much quicker, and you have to edit. I would say you have to edit less. There seems like a lot of editing in those.
A lot of editing, yeah.
So
yeah.
Probably not. Maybe that's just where they just love editing things.
So they love paying people to edit things.
Oh, well, yeah. So,
well, hopefully they're paying them, but...
Oh, no. It's all unraveling. Well, thank you, Frankie. And Tyler, before you send us off into the night, how can people... near or far, find, ingest, and enjoy Tyler Kinney.
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually the case.
Sorry. You gotta call me. You gotta be like one of the three people that call me. You gotta be my mom. That.
All right.
You wanna know what's going on, guys? You gotta be my mom.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sign up.
Oh.
That was weird.
Yeah. I just hope
there's probably like a better, like you edit this thing. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not doing anything and I'm not online. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then just keep tuning into this program. That's where you get your Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Kinney, let's close out this episode of the Stab Show with your invitation to B-Minusberg.
So I went back and I realized every prompt was like scatological for me.
I think we noticed.
Yeah. I don't,
Sometimes it's just you're struck by a muse.
Yeah, Sometimes you're pressed for time and the only thing that you've been dealing with is piss. So, sorry. Department of Tourism. That's the prompt. B-Minusberg is the place. So I Googled B-minus, and it's a vitamin. That's, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Are you a piss freak sick of the overpromise of those so-called piss-friendly sex resorts? Tired of the hassle of finding childcare for a week and traveling to an island all in the hopes of a world-class piss-play experience, only to be unenthusiastically showered in clear, barely stinky pee-pee? Well, let me show you around the vitamin-rich grounds of B-Minusberg, the only swingers retreat that infuses the tap water with a B-minus vitamin compound that ensures all visitors have thick, bright yellow urine that has that smelling salt-like stench and that sting in your eyes that you crave. B-Minusberg, it's an all-piss-clusive play place where you can be certain visitors and staff alike are filled to the brim with syrupy piss, sure to please. Is that the salty spray of the ocean or the urea mist of an island full of heavy flowing piss punters ready to spill your wettest desires? B-Minusberg, say it, do spray it.
And that is Stab. Thank you for joining us tonight, and of course a special thank you to our amazing panel, Corey Barringer, Frankie Lord, and Tyler Kinney. Now, if you like the Stab Show, we want to see your face when we're making it. Come on down to Stab Comedy Theater, Friday nights at 7:30 p.m., and share in the amazingness firsthand with like-minded Stabthusiasts. Or, if proximity or mobility prevent you from joining us in person, tune in on Stab TV on Twitch. Or, if time is your enemy, then you can enjoy the Stab Show whenever you like via the podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe, comment, and share Stab with someone who needs it. But sadly, that's all we've got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, welcoming you to the second 400 episodes of the show called Stab. Good night.
Hey, sweet, we did it.